Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. Well, it's always a pleasure for me when the Department of Theater and Dance arranges for the Granada Artist in Residence to come down to KDVS, 14 Lower Freeborn, and join me on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We have two guests here today. The first is our current Granada Artist in Residence, Kudus Onakeku. Kudus Onakeku is one of the preeminent young generation choreographers working today. Born in Lagos, Nigeria, Onakeku graduated from the National Higher School of Circus Arts in Chalon-en-Champagne, France. Often inspired by his Yoruban culture, Onakeku conducts artistic research in Africa and has toured the United States, the Caribbean, and Europe with personal works, as well as with renowned artists such as Hedy Malem, Christophe Abdul Onibasa, Georges Lavaudon, Sidi Larbi Cherkawi. This is fun, isn't it? Boris Charmatz and Jean-Claude Galata. In 2007, he directed Do We Need Coca-Cola to Dance, an urban dance project in various African cities, which gave rise to a documentary film. Other works include I Must Set Forth, 2009, at the Bates Dance Festival. My Exile Is in My Head, 2010, at the Still Life, 2011, at the Festival d'Avignon. We Dance, We Pray at Vuyani Week in Johannesburg, and Kadesh, 2011, at Torino Danza. He was named the 2012 New Choreographic Talent at SACD, La Société des Auteurs et Compositeurs Dramatiques in France, and is currently working on Kadesh. Is that how you say it? Kadesh, a new full-length journey with his 80-year-old father that will premiere at the 2013 Festival d'Avignon. I got to use some of my high school French in that introduction. That was fun. And with him here today is Marianne Brooks, a dancer and choreographer's assistant. She's an educator, activist, dancer, and performance artist. Her adventures have led her from California's backcountry mountain ranges to dance studios in New Zealand to street theater protests in San Francisco. Before starting the Interdisciplinary Dramatic Arts MFA here at UC Davis in this past fall, she danced with Aerial Dance Troupe Flyaway Productions in San Francisco. She's a first-year MFA candidate in Dramatic Art at UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance, and we'll be talking about Flash, a new choreography by Kudus Onakeku. It's a poetic and multidisciplinary attempt to speak of painful memories, opening this weekend. And you can see it this weekend and also next weekend. If you're looking for tickets, you could go to tickets.mondaviarts.org. But we're very lucky to have these two performers and creative visionaries here in the studio. Kudus Onakeku and Marianne Brooks, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Kudus, let's start with you. We're always very pleased to be able to welcome back our Granada artist in residence. And I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about how it was you were recruited for this honor and this opportunity to come teach and inspire dancing here at UC Davis.
Yeah, for me, it's just like one of those emails I get. You just open your email and you see an email inviting you, asking you if you want to come. I got it actually last year, so it took me like a year to plan for it. So I knew that something I really wanted to do. I have, for the past 5 years, I've been so much focused on my personal work, developing my personal style. And,
right.
And for me, I think it's about time to start transmitting. So when the offer came, I was very pleased actually to accept it.
Excellent. Well, we're pleased to have you here. I'm hoping you can tell us something, but maybe not too much, about Flash, this new choreography that we get to see starting this weekend. What is Flash?
Flash, I would say it's like you said, it's an attempt to speak of painful memory, because what we did with Flash was, when I was coming here, I only had an idea of breaking down the words in Flash into five movements. Like, If I take off the F, I'm going to have Lash, which is about torture and flogging. And if I remove the L, I'm going to have Ash, which is like cremation and ruins and all of that. And if I take away the A, I'm going to have SH, which is like shh, which is like hush, like silence. And if I remove the S, I'm going to have H, and H representing different things like hydrogen, like hospital, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to just work around this word. Then when I got here, I met up with different students, mm-hmm. and faculty members, and also the idea of seeing the theater gave me some ideas as well. And eventually with Lindsay, who is the narrator in the piece, we came up, as well as Mary as well, we came up with the idea of collecting stories from different events in different time and different places in the past. For example, we have texts from the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. We have texts from the Rwandan genocide. We have some slave narratives. And we also have some poetry written by Lindsay herself. So we put all of that together to be one person's story. Mm-hmm. So we remove all the things that points to a particular event. We just kind of like remove it and paint it in the general painting. Yeah,
I see. And it's fascinating and something that we've explored, you know, much. Regrettably, we've had to in the 20th and 21st century, and that is, to what extent can art or the performing arts, what function does it have in the face of that sort of despair and painful memories? What solace does it bring us? What function does it have for the performers and also for the audience members?
It's healing. That's, mm-hmm. that's just the one word. It's about healing. It's also to understand that why I was particularly keen at not showing the identity of the story, mm-hmm. was to also make us understand that our narrative as human beings very similar, and that whatever thing we do here, as in far away United States, is having repercussion in Rwanda or in faraway Iraq. So our the way we listen to news and the way we take stories that comes to us through CNN and, you know, all these big medias, we see them far away, like something so far away from us. But if we are able to understand that it's a human stories, you know, when you say 50 people died or 100 people died in Libya, 100 people, it's 100 people is a lot, you know. Yeah. Yeah. 100 people with personal stories and all of that. So to be able to bring these personal stories close to us is a way, is what one thing that we try to do in this piece, and this is what we hope people will become more human and listen to those stories and not just seeing them as a news.
Absolutely. If you're just joining us, Kudu Sonikeku is my guest, and he is our current Granada artist in residence. And he and my other guest, Marianne Brooks, who's here and who we'll hear from in a moment, they are responsible with others for Flash, a new choreography, and as we've been talking about, an attempt to speak of painful memories. This opens tomorrow evening at the main theater, which is Celeste Turner Wright Hall on the UC Davis campus. And that goes March 7th to 9th at 8 p.m., also the subsequent Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, also at 8 p.m. And then also Sunday shows on March 10th and 17th at 2 p.m. If you'd like information about tickets, you could go to tickets.mondaviarts.org. You could also visit theaterdance.ucdavis.edu to find out more about what we speak. Kudus, it seems to me that when you speak of the Holocaust, there are so few Holocaust survivors left now that there's like a chronological distance as well as a geographic one. And I think that's another interesting attempt to kind of bridge time as well as geography by representing these narratives as ongoing. Because as you were saying about Libya, they are ongoing. And that's something that that sort of depravity, that sort of torture, inhumanity. Many people associate that with, say, wars that took place 60 years ago.
Exactly.
And it's interesting to see to what extent your show will be able to bring that to the present consciousness of the people who are there.
Exactly. Because it's never. I mean, Holocaust, yeah, was just in its mass. It's very huge, you know, massively. But it's not the first Holocaust in human history, mm-hmm. you know. So human history has always been a cycle. So nothing is in the past, you know, everything is now.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing is in the past. When you hear a Holocaust story and you hear a story from somebody who witnessed a certain event in even in Libya or even in Lagos,
right.
You feel like it's the same story because human story, atrocities and torture and killings and inhuman attitudes, they're the same. They don't have identity.
Right.
They don't have identity. Holocaust used to be a word. It's just a dictionary word.
Right.
We didn't invent it after Hitler.
Right.
So
yeah,
it has always
before
been there.
It was capitalized. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, the effect of exploring inhumanity and painful memories as a way of helping people understand their shared humanity. So that some, you know, that these things are less likely to happen in the future. And it's almost ironic that we look at a history of division and war and Holocaust and abuse and torture as a way of reminding us that we are not so divided. We are not so different.
Yeah, because also, you know, it's something that all of a sudden it gives these stories human faces again. Because usually when we hear them, we put so much prejudice on them. We put so much identity. Then eventually we distance ourselves from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hitler that can do that kind of thing. We cannot do that. It is these people that does that. It is Libya. It is Gaddafi.
Right.
He's a bad guy. We need to take him out. So eventually the human story is gradually washing away. The human story, the story of the boy that lost his father to that. You know, to that divine intervention, that holistic intervention, something that we need to do, we have to do. But there is a boy, there is a girl, there is in Palestine, you know, there is a boy losing his father, losing his mother. So all of that, if we are able to put ourselves in the shoes of that little boy, then we realize that our intervention there is not that holy.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually,
yeah. That's well put. Well, Miriam Brooks is also here. She's an educator, an activist, and a dancer, as well as a performance artist. And she is also very excited, as we all are, about Flash, a new choreography opening tomorrow evening on the UC Davis campus. Miriam Brooks, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
How would you characterize your work on this show and your contributions in working with Kodis Onokeku and also with all of the students that you get to work with here at UC Davis?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's been a really unique opportunity to work with Kodis because I have been keeping an eye on contemporary African choreographers. And there's definitely a lot of really provocative work,
mm-hmm,
coming from choreographers from the African continent, but specifically in this very transnational way where folks are, you know, not necessarily based, like Kodis is from Nigeria, but he's based in Paris. And so there's a lot of us kind of in this kind of globalized situation now where we don't just have a place where we are. And I think that's also reflected in these stories. These stories no longer are situated in a place.
Right.
And so, you know, to bring that sensibility to undergraduate students and myself being a graduate student and creating a work of art, it's been a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a very intense journey because, you know, we started out with 7 days of just being in the studio with Kodis, and it was kind of like, he's like, I don't do auditions. He's like, just come every day. And so, you know, out of that week of working, the group that, you know, he wanted to work with came, they were there. They were the ones that were the most present. And we started out with looking at these stories, watching them on videos and discussing them.
And they're all on YouTube.
And they're all on YouTube.
Yeah.
And not only that, but sharing our own stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were performing solos every day, sharing our own stories through our bodies and with our voices. And so over time, little threads of everything that we worked on came together in this kind of timeless configuration of moments and fragments and images. And it's I feel very proud of the piece. I feel that we created a very cohesive organism as dancers and as performers.
Right.
And he guided us through that process. So it's been really exciting.
How much more satisfying that is than if Kudos had come with everything written and just hand everyone a script and say, here, this is what you're doing. Because it sounds like all of you were collaborators in imagining how this project would be enacted and materialized on the
right.
stage.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Flash, a new choreography by Granada artist-in-residence Kudos Onakeku. He is here to share with all of us in these coming 2 weekends a poetic and multidisciplinary attempt to speak of painful memories. Marianne Brooks, could you say something about how it was you chose to earn your MFA here at UC Davis?
I lived in San Francisco mm-hmm. for 19 years, most of my adult life, mm-hmm. all of it, actually. And I was at a point in my artistic life where I just wanted to be immersed in creating and living and breathing performance. And I had some friends who were in the program from the Bay Area, and the really exciting thing about the theater and dance MFA right now is that it's an interdisciplinary MFA.
Right.
So even though I've focused on, you know, movement and the body and dance, I was excited about the interdisciplinarity of the program and how my work reflects that. And so I was able to come to a program that was more in line with, you know, what I'm experimenting with in theater and in dance. And that's pretty much what really drew me to the program, because there's so many dance programs that are very rigid.
Right.
You know, and you have to take certain classes, and it's just really redundant. And so, and even being able to work with artists outside of the program was something that attracted me. So that's really what brought me here, and being close to the Bay Area, of course.
Yeah. Well, I have a skewed view because I interact with the program through seeing the performances, and then also I get to interview the Granada artist in residence whenever he or she comes to Davis. And it just seems like such a resource to me to have all these wonderful performers from around the world and to offer the sort of inspiration that no matter how great a program you have, you're not always going to have that from your homegrown faculty. And so it infuses a lot of life and variety and diversity into the program. Well, Kudos, we are out of time, but why don't you say just one thing about working with the students here at UC Davis?
Actually, when I first got the offer to create this piece, it took me like 8 years to, I mean, 8 months
yeah.
to actually come up with an idea mm-hmm. of what I want to do exactly. And when I did, just like all my work, they were asking me actually for the title, I'm like, I don't know. They were asking me, what do you want to do? I don't know. I just have to see the people. I just have to be here.
Right.
I have to know them. I have to meet people to be able to create. I cannot say, oh, in this part, scene A, there will be a Superman. And I come right. here, there is no Superman. So I really need to see the people. But during the first week of the audition, I was really surprised. We had so many materials, so many, that eventually we finished the creation in 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
In 2-3 weeks we were done, because the people were, the fact that I don't do, I call it not an audition.
Yeah.
And people know that it's an audition.
Right.
They were willing to give 100%, and I say no, I want 150,
mm-hmm.
and people went up to 150 for me
yeah.
because they wanted to be chosen at the same time,
right?
And they also kind of enjoy it. So eventually, after the first week of the audition, I couldn't go further. We just have to come back to 100%.
Yeah.
So eventually, people were just at 100% for the entire weeks of the creation, and like she said, we have to work with people's sensibility. We have to work with people's personality. We have to work with people's own personal stories in all of this and how they react to all of this. We show them really crazy videos, like a video they couldn't have watched themselves on YouTube. They would just shut it off.
Right.
Like the really strong things, I kind of forced them to see it. Every Saturday, we would just sit down together and we watch videos and witnesses of Holocaust and things about Rwanda and crazy stuff. So all of that kind of shaped the whole process. Really, if I didn't have the people we have here for the creation, we couldn't have created a piece like this, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great idea to, in your first week of class, to give the students the final exam and then to see how it is that they recover over the coming weeks. Well, we've been chatting with Kudus Onikeku and Marianne Brooks. And together with the students that we've been describing, they are responsible for Flash, a new choreography. Kudus Onikeku is our Granada artist in residence, and it's always a great opportunity for people in the UC Davis and the Davis community, as well as the Sacramento Valley, to see the sort of art and dance that you're not going to find anywhere else locally. And again, the shows start tomorrow evening, and it's through the weekend at 8 p.m., the following weekend as well, and then Sunday shows at 2 p.m. at the main theater, Celeste Turner Wright Hall on the UC Davis campus. Well, Kudus Onikeku and Marianne Brooks, thanks so much for coming on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Well, stick around, folks, because we're going to hear more from our friend D.R. Wagner in just a moment.